food, so we'll next talk about Rajasic food. Parishloka number 9. Katvam lavan katvam lalavanatyushna.
Katvam lalavanatyushna.
Tikshna ruksha vidahinaha.
Tikshna ruksha vidahinaha.
Ahara rajasas yeshta. Dukha shoka maya pradaha. Together, katvam lalavanatyushna. Tishna ruksha vidahinaha. Ahara rajasas yeshta. Dukha shoka maya pradaha. So this kind of rajasic food, ahara, these kinds of food, rajasas in the second line, rajasasya, so of the rajasic people, ishta, ishta means that is the food they like. And what kind of food they like, so we'll see in the first line, katu. Katu means bitter, they like bitter foods, you know, some of the foods are very bitter, like bitter melon, you know, karela, like that. So they love that kind of food. Amala, amala means sour, food that is very sour, you know, put a lot of lemon, very sour foods. Lavana, lavana means salty.
There you go.
You know, putting too much salt, that is rajasic. I knew somebody will say that. That's why I was trying to avoid, not talk about salty. Ati ushna means very hot. You know, some people like boiling hot chai. Immediately chai, boiling hot, they finish it quickly. They don't wait for it to cool down. And that is, I will talk about, that is rajasic. And tikshna, tikshna means very spicy, mirchi. You know, people from Surat, they just only eat mirchi. That is it. The food is totally, sometime I go to, now I've gotten used to it, but before when I used to go to the temple, I couldn't eat. Now I eat everything. Now so I'm eating spicy food, but it's hard. Tikshna, so very spicy. Ruksha, ruksha means dry food. It doesn't have any juice in it. It's just dry. And vidahina, vidahina means which is burning, which burns your stomach, and people eat and they say, ah, my stomach is burning, mouth is burning, but they keep eating. So the more it burns, the more the andhra food, you know, that is typical, right? Spicy, the more spicy it is, the more they enjoy that. And it keeps burning, their mouth burns their stomach, they say, orlao, you know. And what does this food do? Dukha, shoka, amaya, pradaha. Dukha means sorrow, and dukkha means pain, shoka means sorrow. So this food causes pain, sorrow, and amaya, ill health. Ill health. How does it do that? So as we can see, food that is extremely spicy burns your mouth and burns your stomach. C.V. Raman, who is a Nobel, who won a Nobel Prize for mathematics, but one time he was talking about food and he said, our mouth is like an open sore, you know, like if you have a cut in your, and if you put spicy on that, how it will burn. So mouth is like an open sore. So don't put food that is too spicy, too sour, too bitter, too hard on it. So food that should be pleasing, but should be healthy. And it should give you energy, but not only physical energy, should also give you mental energy. Yeah, rajasic food will make you physically strong, but then will get your mind agitated. See, if you eat too much rajasic food, or you eat too much at night and you go to bed, or watching TV, you know, that's the famous thing. You're watching TV and you don't know how many, you know, chips you are eating or all this food. You don't keep track. You just, by the time you're done, the whole packet of chips is over. And like Cheetos, I don't know if it is true now, but one time I had heard that they actually put pork in that, you know, in Cheetos. I don't know if it's true or not, but I had heard from somebody. So the point is that these kind of foods that are processed, you know, that are junk foods, you know, fried, extremely heavy, you know, very rich, very very high in fats, they are harmful. In fact, there was a book came out many years ago, How to Kill Your Husband Without Getting Caught. No, it was really a book. And it said that just feed him rich foods, you know, fatty foods every day. He'll gain weight, his arteries will clog. So that is a slow way of getting rid of your husband. So ladies can please take note. But then sooner or later, it will get the lady also, right? Only thing, ladies are healthier because they have a stronger metabolism. So they live longer. If you see majority of the time, women outlive the men, if you see in the communities also. So sooner or later, this food will eliminate the lady also. So the point is that these foods are harmful. Why? Because they cause you to gain weight. Because they are fried, they are processed, they have all these additives, chemicals, you know, all these dyes, and, you know, to keep the food longer and to make it taste better, you know, but we don't know what they are adding in it. You know, they put all kinds of chemicals. The food tastes good, but we don't know the ingredients. They don't put, they just say, and other ingredients. You know, if you read the ingredients, half the time they won't tell you, or if they say it, they'll say sodium taurate, glycinate. You don't know what is that, you know, what they are adding. So that is all rajasic, that is harmful, and that burns. It is vidahina. It is like fire, fire in your stomach, fire in your mouth. And the person will say, "Are, yesterday's food was too heavy, was not healthy. I didn't sleep good. It wasn't good. So what are you going to do tonight? Are, bring more of that," you know, because the taste, because they, so they're eating food not for the food value, but for the taste. And they say, the master say, food only should be eaten for food value. What is the value you are getting out of food? Not only taste. Does not mean that sattvic food does not taste good. In fact, if you eat a fresh vegetable or carrot or lightly cooked asparagus, you know, with a little bit of butter and a little bit of salt, it tastes very good. So that's what they say. Sattvic food does not mean the food has to be bad tasting or has to be boring or has to be dull, but food that is pleasing to the eyes. Also, it should be nice to look at. That's why ladies spend a lot of time, these chefs and all, in making the food decorative, making the food look nice. So you put all these nuts on it and put all this so that the food not only is pleasing to the eyes, it should smell good. You know, they should be fragrant. So they put all this saffron and all these things in it to make the food fragrant, to make it look good, and make it taste good. But rajasic food is only done for taste and for strength. You know, so they will put all, get all these, again, these protein powder shakes. Again, we don't know what is put in that. So one has to be very sure about that food. So that is called rajasic food. So eating food for weight, for just for taste, and food that makes you gain weight. If the food makes you gain excessive weight, then such food should be avoided. And if in that situation, maybe a little bit of fasting, maybe skip meal or skip breakfast, you know, the 16-hour fast, those are good. So rajasic food is that which is harmful for the body and also makes your mind agitated. You don't sleep good at night. You know, you get heartburn before you sleep. So you have to take some Prilosec or some Pepto-Bismol. Why? Because my stomach is burning. So that is rajasic food. So we have talked about sattvic and rajasic. Now we'll talk about tamasic. And tamasic, there is a lot to talk about. So we'll talk about that also. And actually, if you will be surprised, a lot of these things we do. You know, we don't only eat sattvic. We eat rajasic and also tamasik. So shloka number 10. Yata yamam gat rasam.
Yata yamam gat rasam.
Puti paryushitan chayata.
Puti paryushitan
chayata. उच्छिष्टमपि चामेद्यम्,
उच्छिष्टमपि
भोजनं तामसप्रियम्,
चामेद्यम्
यातयामं गतरसं ऊतिपर्युषितं च यत्, उच्छिष्टमपि चामेद्यम्, भोजनं तामसप्रियम्. सो भोजनं तामसप्रियम्. सो व्हाट इज द काइंड ऑफ फूड दैट तामसिक पीपल लाइक? नॉट ओनली दैट, बट दिस फूड मेक्स योर माइंड मोर तामसिक, मेक्स योर बॉडी एंड माइंड मोर तामसिक. सो द फूड डिटर्मिन्स द बॉडी एंड द माइंड, एंड देन द बॉडी एंड द माइंड डिटर्मिन्स व्हाट काइंड ऑफ फूड. सो दे आर कनेक्टेड. What I like, if I like tamasic food, it will make me tamasic. And so they feed upon each other. So, what is tamasic food? So, yata yamam, this is very interesting. Yata yamam means the day is divided into 8 parts of 3 hours each. So, 24 hours, 3 hours each, 8 times. So, in the olden days, when there was no fridge, they said if the food has been cooked and kept for 3 hours, you can't eat after that. So food should be eaten within 3 hours of cooking. So if food that is, so here what it means is stale food. So now, of course, we have fridge and all, but now we overuse the fridge. We eat food 5 days old, 6 days old. In the freezer, the food is 3 months old, 6 months old. But and before that, in the grocer's freezer. And before that, when the farmer, picked the tomatoes and then he canned it and then he shipped it, and maybe last year's tomatoes, we don't know when the food was frozen in deep freeze. It can stay for months or years. So yata yama means which is stale food. So they're saying that means food should be eaten fresh. Cook it and eat it right away. That is the best within 3 hours. But if it is later, then that is stale food. Gata rasam means no taste. So Gurudev in his commentary gives an example, like some people will soak rice overnight, and in the morning they take it out and they just eat it without anything, and he said that is tasteless, has no nutrition, has been all night in the water. But some people enjoy that tasteless food, gata rasam. That is tamasic. Uti pariyushitam. Uti means putrid and foul smelling. Some people like foul smelling foods. And we'll talk about example of that. Bad smell. Uti pariyushitam cha yata, that food. And uchishtam means food that should be thrown away, they will eat. It should be thrown in the trash, but they will eat. Cha amedyam. Amedyam means unclean. Dirty food, like when we go in the market, especially in India, where the roadside stalls are, there are flies on it, and the guys, mud is falling, and he has not washed his hand. We don't know. So that is amedyam. That is unclean food, and that is bhojanam tamasa priyam. So stale food we already talked about. Food that has been kept for long time in the freezer. Food that has been cooked several days ago. So it should be. And then also, food that is outdated. Sometimes it is, the date is long gone. So that food people don't mind eating. Foul smell. Foul smell is, there are certain cheeses, which have a horrible smell. And, the older the cheese, the better. In cheese, they have the 6 month old cheese, 1 year old cheese. And looks and has blue and green on it. I used to call it crawling cheese because you can see the bugs in it. People like it. Are wow, this is the gourmet cheese. When you go to these places, it is green, blue color, and it is tasteless. And in smell, also meat and fish. If you eat fish, it has so much smell. And meat also, the reason they say one should avoid eating meat or fish, because meat, what happens is that the animal is killed, he's sacrificed, taken right before, whether it's the chicken or the beef or the cow. So before the animal is taken or sacrificed, how much pain the animal is experiencing, anger and helplessness and fear. And so all those qualities of the animal that the animal is going through get transmitted to the meat. So when we are eating that, then the subtle emotions of that animal also get transmitted to us. So that's why they say one should avoid eating meat and fish, because, and then also the, I mean, not to emphasize too much, but they talk about karma if you believe in the karmic aspect of that. And then I talked about unclean food. Then alcohol is also tamasic, beer. Now, how is beer made? It is processed in some place. The hops are kept for long periods of time, months on end. Or wine, the grapes are years. This is 5-year-old wine, this is 10-year-old wine. The longer the wine is kept, the more expensive it is. So they say, oh, this is finely aged wine. And they have these pantries, these closets where they date the wine, and the older the wine, the better. So this is all tamasic food and unclean food, food that is has not been cleaned properly, has not been cooked properly, has not been processed. But why do people eat it? Because it is convenient. Like people will buy these frozen foods from the grocery, put it in the microwave, 2 minute warm, ready, ho gaya, and just eat it. No need to waste time in cooking, in collecting grocery, chopping the vegetables, putting the spices. It's ready made, ready to eat food. And we again, it is frozen. You just put it in the microwave, put it in the oven in 5-10 minutes, the food is ready. So it is convenient, and it is canned. Again, can may, we don't know when the can was canning was done, how many months ago, how many years ago. Not only it is convenient for the buyer, but it is also convenient for the seller, because in the factories, when they can these foods or when they make it, what do? They buy tomatoes all that ripen at one time. They don't want tomatoes ripening, so they artificially ripen the tomatoes artificially, and then pack it all together and then put it in a can. And then they'll make 5,000 cans, 10,000 cans, and ship it all over the country. So it's very profitable for them. Why? Because they haven't put too much effort. It's otherwise, if you allow the tomatoes to mature, allow the vegetables to grow, allow the fruits to, no, the everything is artificially grown, everything is packed and then shipped, and it is very profitable. Not only it is profitable, but nowadays the new trend is GMO. You must have heard about genetically modified, foods, where they change the genetics of the food, where the food is resistant to bugs. It gets resistant to bacteria, it gets resistant to bug. And those crops that grow, they produce a lot of food, but then the seed you have to buy from them. You can't, it like Monsanto or DuPont, they will sell seeds to the farmers. They'll say this will increase your yield by 20%, 30%. And the farmer does it. First year, he makes a lot of money. And then they say put artificial fertilizers, put additives, put this, put that. And suddenly his yield goes up. He makes a lot of money. Next year, the seed is not going to work. He has to again buy seed from them. So, and it slowly replaces their own seeds, their own crops. And now your whole crop becomes dependent on these big companies. So you have to buy from them. You cannot, your own seeds won't take. So that is tamasic food, which is very, it is genetically modified. Whatever God has made, they will modify the fruit. So it looks big, some of these huge pears and huge, it looks very good, but it tastes very dry. It tastes very, it is tasteless. So it is all done for marketing, for a commercial basis. And so that food is tamasic. And another one of the famous food, which is very tamasic, is called kefir. Kefir is made in the Middle East, but it is highly fermented. Any food that is highly fermented is tamasic. And we all, of course, eat quite a bit of fermented food. But kefir is particularly famous. It is what they do is they get up in the morning, they will take yogurt and mix fruit in it. Now, nothing wrong with mixing yogurt with fruit. But 7 o'clock, they will mix it, but then they will leave for 5 hours. And so the bacteria in the yogurt start eating the fruit. And the fruit gets eaten by the bacteria, starts fermenting. And by 12 o'clock, it is completely ferment. Ah, that is the good food. And they will love to eat that. And that becomes a delicacy because it has been kept 5 hours and it is deeply fermented. So the point is that food determines my thinking, and then my thinking determines the food. So Bhagwan Shri Krishna, in this diet, he tells us that eat food that is sattvic as much as possible, because then sattvic food will make your mind sattvic, will make your idea sattvic, and then it is better for meditation, better for prayer. That's why they say meditation and prayer should be done on an empty stomach, not after eating, because then your mind is ready for this. So eating light, eating healthy, eating food that is fresh, not eating food which has too many additives, preservatives, dyes, chemical. You know, they say dye number 7. We don't know what dye number 7 is if you look in these ingredients. And eating food that is not too spicy, not too heavy, not too hard on the body. And that makes the body healthy. So food is the pratyaksha. You see the effect of food. But yajna, dana, and tapa, you don't see the effect, but that is punya. That increases your merits. And those we'll talk about in the next week. So today, the 4 shlokas mainly dealt with diet. There's not too much additional discussion. But if anybody would like to add any ideas, any thoughts, feel free to do that about diet.
Eating is also, it matters if your mind full.
Yes.
You're eating as well, correct?
Yes.
You have to, you don't have to have preoccupation.
Right.
When you eat.
Now that's very important, watching TV or reading the newspaper or talking is okay, you know, two people are eating, husband, wife is no harm, but being preoccupied with the phone while you're eating, then you don't know how much you eat, what is the taste of the food. And eating together is a very important social activity. The family, you know, should eat together at least one meal. Husband, wife, children should eat where they talk about what happened in the daytime, how the day went, and any problems, any discussion. Not to argue or not to fight. But as Satish Bhai said, mindfully eating, paying attention to the food and paying attention to each other. So eating can become a very good social activity, a very good activity for the family. And mindfully, yes, I pay attention to what I eat, how much I eat, what quantity. So then, yes, that food is pleasing and your mind also gets pleased with that. Yes.
Just like the person cooking, they're mind, state of mind matters. The one who is eating, their state of mind also should matter.
Absolutely. Right. That's why we say, you know, thank God. That's why all the religions, we do this. You know, I thank God for this meal. May this full meal bless us. May it make us. So you invoke God before cooking and before eating, both. Even before cooking, I remember God. Oh God, it is you who is there in this vegetable. I didn't grow these vegetables or these fruits or this wheat or this rice. It's God who grew it, and you know I bought it from the grocery store. But ultimately, God Himself is there in front of me in this potatoes, in these tomatoes, in this cauliflower, all of these. So seeing God in the food, in the vegetables, in the fruits, and invoking God's grace before you cook, and also invoking God's grace before you eat. And also, I think the food companies have a responsibility also that the food that we produce should be healthy, should not have harmful additives, even though the FDA and all regulates, but even then, you know, a lot of things get away because they cannot be everywhere at all times. So they, you know, there's, for example, they talk about caged hens, you know, eggs that are put in, you know, that from hens that are in cage, again, have the negativity. So all those things matter. So producer of food, that who is shipping the food, make sure it's not too old and not too stale. And then the person buying the food, cooking all of that and eating. So everywhere, yes, it's the whole process is there from growing. Even the farmer growing the food has to invoke God. You know, the God is there. That's why the crop is growing well, because he cannot control the rain. He cannot control the weather. He cannot control how fast the crops will grow, how much, you know, he will get. So invoking God's grace in at all steps, that's very important. Thank you. Good point. Yeah.
What's the difference between ghee and clarified butter?
Ghee is clarified butter. It's whitish, right? Isn't ghee clarified butter? It's called clarified butter.
Why is it better? Why is it better than butter? I mean, is it better than butter?
What they do, ghee is...
You just keep boiling the butter. And it makes it would be totally clear. It becomes totally clear. You melt it till then. And then you will see some thick stuff will stay on the bottom. So...
Yeah,
so
ghee is...
Whatever fat is there, it will go down. Uh-huh. The, whatever is sticking into the pan, that is the... fat in the butter. And it removes the, it leaves the good fat.
It's good fat.
Yeah.
It will change.
Yeah, it tastes yes, yummy.
It tastes good. It tastes good. Yeah.
It tastes too good.
Right. So, yeah, so instead of butter, using, yeah.
Better than the ghee. Sorry, ghee is better than the butter.
And even better than the oils.
Yes. Yes.
Ghee is also better than oil. So, yeah. But again, not overloading.
It's a very good flavor to use. Mm-hmm. Like if you just put it in a plain rice cup, a spoon of the ghee, it will taste such a good thing.
Yeah, you
of
don't need
if you get the origin of the milk matters as well, because if you get one with all these antibiotics and all the other stuff, then that's not good. But if you get the real cow milk, then you get the best ghee out of it.
I had to take my certification for the yoga certification. I had to take this class, and it was all online, and I can't remember how many hours, 500 hours, it was a long thing. And one of the presentations was a lady. And she was talking about the fact that we should not eat anything produced by another animal. That animal produces, like a cow produces milk for their calf.
Right.
And so we shouldn't eat that. But, you know, and so they were talking about just eating a totally vegetarian diet. Totally plant-based.
Plant-based. Vegan.
Yeah,
yeah.
Vegan.
That's
real. Yeah, actually, because they say humans are the only animals that drink milk of another animal.
Right.
See, cow drinks cow's milk, you know, like that. Elephant will drink elephant's milk. Buffalo will drink buffalo's. But yeah, too much milk is also creates a lot of inflammation in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why too much of milk is not good. Milk, because it creates inflammation. So if you have inflammation.
Originally in India, we always drink the fresh milk. The same like you get the milk in the morning, you finish that by the evening, and then you get more milk from the cow in the evening.
Oh,
yeah. So nobody used anything but fresh milk.
Yeah.
Whatever is saved, you make a yogurt out of it, but you don't drink that milk.
Right.
Now it's boil and all the preservatives. So,
I remember as a child, I used to stand by the cow As soon as they milk it, I will just drink it, the warm milk. And here it's considered just really, the people say it's yucky. How can you drink that? But that was the best thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, my grandfather used to have cows, my father's, and he, yeah, they used to all drink the fresh milk right from the cow. And then he used to go sell it because that was his occupation. He used to have cows. But yeah, I remember, yeah, going as a child.
It's still in India, there are places that you get fresh milk every day. They don't buy the bottle or the milk in a bag.
Right. Or the milkman.
The milkman will bring it to you.
I remember living in Chicago where I grew up. I remember the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the milkman coming down the alley with the milk in the bottle.
And the yogurt also very tasty compared to this normal
yogurt. Yeah, freshly made yogurt, yeah. Yeah, that's what the ladies used to make their own yogurt. Nowadays, nobody does. Nowadays, it's all store-bought. And again, we don't know what chemical that.
You,
not to scare.
Listen to Krishna's childhood stories. You will hear all those things that, you know, how, because he was a cowherd.
Right.
Yeah, so fresh butter and.
Fresh butter and yogurt and. All that
milk.
Does Hindu people who are Hindus they're not vegan, not necessarily vegan?
No.
Yes.
Okay, but vegetarian.
They are vegetarians. See, most of us are vegetarians, okay. But we do have milk products. We'll have yogurt, you know, some milk, like that. Most of us are, but they. Most of them won't eat meat. Right. Eat fish and all. They'll avoid and then eat. But milk products, yes, we do. And even all our sweets are made out of milk.
Right.
Yes. All the sweets that you buy in the store, all this barfi and all, they're all made out of milk.
Okay. So. Our meal will not complete without yogurt.
Yes.
Our meal will end with yogurt.
South Indians, yes.
South Indian yogurt.
Uh-huh.
Yogurt rice.
Yogurt rice. They have to have yogurt. Right. Yes.
How much we eat before the yogurt rice, but we won't feel that we eat is full. Yeah. Once we eat yogurt rice, then only we feel it's full completely.
Right. It's like Western, if once dessert comes, then nothing more will come. So once yogurt rice came, then don't expect. For Sindhi, it is papad. Okay. Once papad comes, then don't expect anything else. So yeah, yogurt rice is like.
Thank you.
Any other comments on food?
There is a chart of these gunas, right? Somewhere in the Gita.
Yes.
What chapter is it in? You know?
Probably 14th. In 14th chapter. I'll look it up. I think 14th chapter it is there. But yeah, I'll look it up next week. I can look it. But or you can look it. 14. It has to be either 14 or 17.
Okay, right. Yeah. That's what I thought.
So that's the values, right? The same thing.
No, the gunas.
The gunas, the chart of gunas. What percentage?
We have the magnet that you create. Those are values, right?
Values. Right. No, but there is a chart of the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Either 14 or 17. 18th chapter also, the beginning has a lot of gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Yeah, so Bhagavan has spent almost 3 chapters on it, 14, 17, and then part of 18th in these gunas. So how important they are. So that idea is that one should always, as much as possible, live in sattva. Sattva is purity, knowledge, right action, right attitude. Rajas is passion, you know, power, all that. And tamas is laziness, you know, indolence, don't care. But in our day, also I was reading, and I think I mentioned in the Thursday class, that our day should be divided into sattva, rajas and tamas. So in the morning, 5 a.m. you should wake up, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. should be sattvic time, when I should be doing my prayers, meditation, you know, get ready for work. But my attitude should be remembering God for those 3 hours in the morning. Sunrise is there. You can do the Gayatri mantra and all. Then 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., say 4 p.m., 5 p.m. is work time. So I go to work, go for a job. So that should be Rajasic time. And then I come home at 5 and then I have my dinner. And maybe, you know, a little bit of relaxation is okay. But after that, the last 2 hours of my time before I go to bed should again be sattvic. I should be remembering God, reading good books, you know, chanting, listening to some mantras or some bhajan, some, you know, hymns, some nice songs. And then 9 p.m., say, if you go to bed, till 5 a.m. is tamasic time when I have to sleep. So I should have tamas at night, again, not stay up too late. Then in the morning, sattvic, and at before bedtime, again, sattvic, and in between, rajas. So that is how the day should be divided. So I should start my day remembering God and end my day remembering God. So,
and I was thinking too about the kinds of entertainment
yes.
that we like. And, you know, some people like action movies.
Right.
And some people like comedies. And some people like game shows and things like that. That is kind of...
Yes. Right, right. Or whether you watch a nice documentary, you know, on Netflix, something which is uplifting, or you watch a violent movie or horror movies, you know, those are tamasic, where you get scared and there are ghosts and goblins and all these, you know, dark forces and all, you know, they will show all these black people. So those are tamasic. So yes, you're right. Movies can be also sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, whether they are passionate or they are scary. These scary movies are all tamas. Uh-huh. You know, the more scary they are, the more kids enjoy them. But that is. And also, I think children also from childhood, what kind of toys they are given. If they are given guns to shoot or all these video games where you're destroying, you know, all this. So those are promote the wrong kind of tendency. So even games that children are given, entertainment, all that can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, and what kind of message you are sending to the children.
Mysteries, what would they be?
Mysteries, I think if they make you think, that's good.
Oh, okay, good.
If they make you think, yes, and anything that stimulates your brain and in the right way,
uh-huh.
you know, yeah, I don't see anything wrong. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here and next week we'll talk about yajna, tapa and dana. Maybe not all of it, but yajna can be sattvic, rajasic or tam. Yajna means the sacrifice. Tapa means the austerities that we do. They can also be sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, and even charity. Dana can be sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. So we'll talk about that in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll end here. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchit Dukha Bhagbhave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah Hari Om. Thank you. Can please go to the hall for Aarti. Thank you very much.
In chapter 17, could you please give me the important shlokas to teach my son?
In 17, the...
There are so many shlokas, right? What are the main few shlokas to teach my son?
I think one is the diet. This is important.
Okay.
And then... The